some other time. Thank you. Did Tom tell you to do that? Oh, good. Well, that's good. By the way, men, when is our
eight?
Friday morning at 8.
Thursday.
Saturday morning at 8 at that corral. Okay. Come to the OK Corral at 8 o'clock Saturday morning. And what I was going to say, men, if there's somebody that's not going, check with all the men. And if it'd be a good time for you to say, hey, go come to eat and I'll pay for you breakfast. I'm going to do that. I've got somebody that I'm bringing, so I wouldn't ask you to do it if I wouldn't do it. I learned that a long time ago at Paris Island. I had DIC. I wouldn't ask you to do anything I'm not going to do. So let's do that, okay? That'll be good. Okay, we're in chapter 3, and we're going to do verse 16, 17, and 18. Now, the rest of the book, which is we're getting down there really with a few verses to go, but the rest of the book of Malachi has to do with the righteous. Of course, you never leave the wicked out when you're talking about the righteous. But the rest of this deals with the righteous. God always has his remnant. He does. When you think that everything's already gone too far and it's over and there's no use. Remember, that's last week. That's what we were talking about. They were saying. I'll just share it with you before I even do it. He says, you have said it is vain to serve God, and what profit is it that we have kept his ordinance and that we have walked mournfully before the Lord of hosts? What good is what we're doing? Don't you know Satan will give you that thought? I've done everything I know to do, and things aren't working out. It doesn't look any better. Nothing's going right. Then he said in verse 15, and now we call the proud happy, those that are on the wicked side, we look at them and they say, well, they're so happy. They look so happy. They've got everything and they look so good. He said, yea, they that work wickedness are set up. And that's what they were continuing to say. Yea, they that tempt God are even delivered. Then the next word in verse 16. Then. And if you'll notice, there's a space there because the thought changes there. Then something happens. The wicked were flourishing, and so it seemed that they had it made. That's the way it looked to them. Those that were religious only, and we've dealt with that all through the book of Malachi about being religious, they began to say, what's the use? Serving God isn't any profit to me. Oh, but boy, there's a profit. If you look at it materialistically, you may be able to say that because he didn't promise us materialistic profits. He promised us we would be profitable working for him and serving him. So the big word here in verse 16 is then. Then they that feared the Lord. Let's read it. Then they that feared the Lord spake often one to another, and the Lord hearkened and heard it, and a book of remembrance was written before him for them that feared the Lord and that thought upon his name. These were the people, and this is what they were doing. And he looked at them and he said, I like what y'all are doing. Now, this may not be you. You may say, well, I'm kind of backward and timid and everything, but no one is so backward that they can't say a word to another Christian brother or sister. I believe people who love the Lord are going to be people who speak to the brothers and sisters, and that's what he's talking here. It's not a confusing thing. I believe what they were doing was when they knew what the wicked were doing and that they looked like they were getting along really good, and some of them weren't, and they didn't know exactly what to do, and they saw Satan begin to use this, and Satan will use it. He'll defeat you in a heartbeat if that's where you're going to be living. He doesn't want us to live there. Let's don't go there. Let's don't live there. But what they did was, and I don't know if I'd been watching Wagon Train or something like that when I was studying this, but I thought about how they close the ranks, you know, how they circle the wagons. You know, when the Indians are coming in to get them, they circle the wagons because that's where their strength is, in circling the wagons. We've used phrases such like dug in. You know, they just dug in and got solid, or they just bowed their backs. Anyway, that's because of what they're serving the Lord. That's what they did, and that's what we need to do. If you find yourself dwindling, you know, and Satan's using that, just bow your back and circle the wagons. You know how you circle the wagons. You don't circle them all by yourself. If you're going to circle wagons, all the wagons got to be on board. And so to do that, you got to talk with each other. We're all in the same wagon train, folks. And when we circle the wagons, on Wednesday night, I believe what we're doing here is we're circling the wagons. We are. Satan's has fought you since Sunday when you were here, and Monday and Tuesday didn't go well. Today might have not gone well. And now on a Wednesday night, he gives us an opportunity to circle the wagons and close ranks and listen to each other's prayer requests. Don't forget them. Take them home with you, because the service doesn't stop here.
Right.
The service goes home with you.
Amen.
Because we're not in service just at church. So here's what he said they did. He said they spoke often one to another. It pleased God to hear that they were having conversations together. And it pleases God that we're having conversations with each other. But now you got to keep this in mind. What's your conversation? If it's just a worldly conversation, he's not going to pay very much attention to that. Even though you can be friendly doing that, that's not what this is all about, because he went on to say their conversation was about the one they feared. That's what their conversation was about. And then they thought on his name. If we're going to talk with each other, let's talk about how good the Lord is. How good he's been to you. We can circle the wagons about that, because we'll all be circling in the same circle. How you like that? Don't you want to know that if you're circling the wagons, they're all in the same circle? You go out and start your own little circle, you may find that Satan can defeat you a little easier than you think. So let's get together. Let's love each other enough as brothers and sisters, and be on board enough about our relationship with God that we can talk about him. And fear was one of the biggest things they had. There's a couple types of fear, and I know that I have preached this and said this for years, that the fear that he's talking about is standing in awe of the power of God, and I still say that it is, but that's not the only fear. If we stand in awe of the power of God, that's a certain kind of fear. And you know, Adam had a fear. He said it this way. He said, I heard thy voice in the garden and I was afraid. He said, I had a fear. What his fear was that the God that had created him and put him where he put him, he knew the power that he had, and he knew what he had done. And when we are not where we ought to be, we ought to have an awesome fear of God coming down and saying, hey, I'm here in the garden. We need to have a talk. And you may not want to talk because of where you've been. And he says, I still want to talk with you. And Adam was afraid that he'd want to talk with him, but he was going to talk with him anyway. I believe that the fear that drives it all is a fear that comes out of love. There is a fear that comes out of love. I have a fear that I could hurt the heart of God. I don't know that that's a different fear. I think that's a part of the fear, is that we have a fear that we could hurt the heart of God, and that's not where we want to be. So he says, I see you conversing with each other, and your thoughts are upon God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Ghost, and how you're going to win people to the Lord. Our conversations ought to be what has to do with right here at Liberty Fellowship in winning people to Christ. If it's our Sunday school, our choir, our Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night services, whatever we're doing for children's church, we need to help each other. And we need to be talking about how good God is to get us where he's gotten us. Now look at verse 17. Verse 17 says, "And they shall be mine." Here's what he's saying about these people who fear the Lord and that have thoughts on his name, and they're talking about it, and it's good conversations. He says, "And they shall be mine, saith the Lord of hosts, in that day." Have you heard that phrase before? In that day. "When I make up my jewels," "and I will spare them as a man spareth his own son that serveth him." You might think that God, you're on God's side, and he's going to do everything he can to make sure you're happy no matter what. That's not really the case. The case he's saying right here is that one day I'm going to make up my jewels, and when I do, I will spare them as a man spareth his son that serveth him. He's talking about those that are where they ought to be. If you're not where you ought to be, you got a problem. Not only are you outside the will of God, and God can bring judgment down on that sin, that's a sin, but also you're in danger of hurting his heart. And I want to take you to the side of hurting his heart more so than I would take you and having to put your hard hat on because you're going into the presence of God and you're thinking he's going to bring down the hammer on you. God can bring down the hammer, but why should we think in that direction when we can get ourselves straightened out much quicker and in a better fashion, that we don't want to hurt his heart because of who he is to us? Let's keep in mind who he is. So I like the fact that he calls us jewels. Jewel is a very special thing. You know you are. You know you're special, right? Everybody know you're special? Now see, some religious folks don't want to go there. There's if I were to say you're special, and if you're special to him, that makes you, there's some good about you. But the good's not from you, it's from him, but it's in your life. Don't be so religious that you say there's none good, no, not one, because that's not where that verse needs to be put in. There ought to be some good coming out of our life. But the good coming out of our life has to come from him. The one who wants to call us his jewels because we're his special treasures. Our common grounds with him is in our salvation. That's our common ground. The thing that you and I have in common. All of us are not the same. We are so far apart in personalities. I don't see a soul in here like Rusty. Except Rusty. We're all so different like that. But we have a common ground. And our common ground is that the fact that I got saved just like you did. I repented of my sin. I believed in him for the salvation of my soul. I'm going to heaven. And you're going to heaven. We have a whole lot of things in common by the way of our salvation. And so it causes us to speak to each other in a mutual understanding. Right? You can tell me some things that God has told you. I can tell you some things that God has told me. So we have that. In love and in sympathy. in that day, and I'm not going to say that again because that, we've repeated that throughout the book of Malachi quite a bit. When his power is unleashed, have you ever seen a bad dog on a leash being unleashed? To me, all dogs are good, but I've seen some bad ones. And I don't care how good your dog is. I was at Lowe's today for about the fourth time, picking up stuff that I didn't get right the second, two or three the other times, you know. But anyway, I was in there, and this couple had two dogs. He had one, she had one. They were big black German Shepherd type dogs. And I don't believe they're those kind of dogs at service. They were just didn't have jackets on or nothing, but they were in there. And so this other person comes in with another dog. And this guy's holding his dog close to his side, and he's walking down through there, and the dog saw that black dog, and he was straining. The black dog saw him, and he was straining, and they were straining. Well, the woman is sitting over at one of those little bar stools at the paint department, and she says, "No, no. No, no." And that dog's about to break his neck to get to that other dog, and she said, "No, no." I said to myself as I went by her, "No, no what? Let him loose." There's nothing, a dog is a dog, okay? And if they want to get to another dog, whether it's see if they'll be their boyfriend or girlfriend, who knows? But most of the time, it's so they can tear their head off if they're trying to get to it like that. I'm getting too much like Nick. I got to stop this. So he says, we're his jewels. We're special to him. We'll always be special. And we're special in our love for each other, in how we sympathize with each other. That's where we are. So in that day, when his power is unleashed, he will spare those he claims for his own. That's where I was getting to on that. One day when he unleashes his power in judgment, he's going to say to you, "Come here. Come over here. Get next to me," because that's where your safety is going to be. It's right here. I'll take you in. I'll take care of you. But I'm getting ready to drop the hammer. Verse 18. "Then shall ye return and discern between the righteous and the wicked." There is a difference. Oh, yeah. "Between him that serveth God." Now, here's the difference between, maybe this is, you've never thought about this before, because you're trying to describe what a wicked person is, what a righteous person is. And that's how you're going to see the difference between them. He makes it real plain right here. He says, "And that they'll discern between the righteous and the wicked, between him that serveth God and him that serveth him not." That's the difference. He says that's the difference between righteous and wicked. If you're not doing anything for God, you're wicked. That's what he said. And if we're not serving God, and let's not kid ourselves, to come to church once or twice a week is not necessarily serving God. If that's all we've got to offer is that we attend church and it makes us feel good to go to church because we know that that's what good people do, right? Y'all with me when I talk like this, right? That's what good people do, and that's what we do. And you can tell everybody the whole next week, "I went to service Sunday morning. Good service. Enjoyed the singing, enjoyed the preaching when Nick's not preaching. Enjoyed the conversation with people. Enjoyed it. It was really good, and it's all a good conversation, isn't it? But what about serving him Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday? And then it starts back over. You don't have, it's like a video that's on the repeat. It just continues to go. And that's where we are. That's who we are. And that's what God's saying here. If you're going to be on the righteous side, you're going to be serving me. And it's not going to be a Sunday type of thing. It's going to be a daily kind of thing. Give us this day our daily bread. Then shall you return and discern between the righteous and the wicked, between him that serveth God and him that serveth him not. I had a couple, I want to share this with you, and then I'll let you go, because I told them I would get through in plenty of time. When the day of judgment comes, at that day that he's just talking about, there will be an eternal difference. Not a difference, but an eternal difference between the wicked and the righteous. So it's not something that you can explain with your regular thought patterns, because it's an eternal difference. I'm going to heaven for eternity. There's no beginning, no ending. That's where I'm going. If you go to hell, you'll go to hell for eternity. Right. No getting out. No paying $200 and getting out. It's not going to happen. That's what he's saying right here in this one little verse. And then I got to thinking about that song we've sung for years and years and years. When he said, on that day, in that day. And I just started singing it. What a day that will be, when my Jesus I shall see. When I look upon his face, the one who saved me by his grace. When he takes me by the hand, leads me through the promised land. What a day, glorious day that will be. Now reverse that song if that's not where you are. Just reverse what it means. Can you imagine that day? You can't. We're not made to imagine that day.
What a day that will be. Saved me by his grace. And when he don't take me through the promised land, what a day that'll be.
What a day. Okay. God bless you. I can see right now you're thinking a lot. So go ahead and think it through.
We need to get the heat on.
Yes, it's been chilly in here.
When I came in, I walked up here.